Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour starts now. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. On a Monday, as I tell you every show at about this time, we take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. If you missed any of the first 2 hours of the show, boy, did we cover some ground and had a lot to talk about. So if you missed any of that, and what you should do every day if you miss anything, is go to ESPN975.com. At the top of the page, you'll see a toolbar for The Usual Suspects. You click on that. The menu comes down. Catch up on the hours you missed. And while you're there on the front page, you can download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere. Never miss another show on the station.
Do it.
Nice, guys. Finally, it's taken a while, but good job. We're back on schedule, I think.
Some dude named Tamarama Ding Dong. I don't know what his name is. Tamarama on Twitter said, "Barry, you're a closet prude." And I said, "Oh, how so, Tamarama Ding Dong?" And he said, "What's wrong with a little toe sucking, bro?"
Oh boy,
where should I start?
Yeah, Barry, what's wrong with a little toe sucking?
Man, y'all.
I mean,
I'm just kidding. I would never. I just.
Here's the thing. I'm not gonna, because people have their own perversions. Like, what Tom thinks toe sucking is normal, and that's fine. And I'm sure whatever kinky perversion I have, or Joel has, or Nick has, we think is normal, and other people would think it's weird, right? So I'm not going to judge you, Tom, for sucking toes, but I'm not, and you're not, and other dudes aren't out writing movies for the express purpose of being able to see Hollywood stars' feet and suck their toes. Now, I'm not saying that's the whole reason he wrote the movies, but when you write in your own scene and that's the scene you're in,
you make a good point.
It's really creepy, bro. I'm not suggesting that the toe sucking is the problem. It's the fact that he writes the scene and then puts himself in it to suck Selma Hayek's toes.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
That's, you make a good point in the fact that you're literally controlling.
Yes. There are other movies with toe sucking in it. What was it? With the dude with the wonky eye. What's his name? There's so many.
Booty Call.
No.
Ketchup.
Not, yeah, Harlem Nights.
Boomerang.
Is it When Cotton Comes to Harlem?
Well, Boomerang was the... Well, he didn't like ugly toes.
Yeah, Boomerang. He didn't like ugly toes, but he didn't suck them. But there was like... I think it was when Cotton Comes to Harlem, when... I forget his name. But he sucked toes in that movie. So I'm not saying that there's not toe sucking in movies or whatever. What I'm suggesting is that Tarantino writes that scene, or a foot scene, and then puts himself in the scene, or puts himself in
extra,
the position to be around the feet. That's the whole thing. That's the weird part.
Fast and Furious, The Dreamers, The Beach Bum, The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Those are all toe
road
sucking
trip
scenes?
They all have toe sucking scenes.
That's a bigger thing than I thought.
Road Trip, toe The sucking? Best Offer, yeah. Yeah. The Devil's Advocate, goes on and on.
There's a lot of fetishes I don't understand. That would be one of them.
I'm sure there's a psychological reason behind it. It's just like, why are some dudes leg men, or, you know, ass men, or into breasts, or, you know, they say that there's a reason behind every fetish, right? Like, there's
I know people that have that foot fetish kind of thing, that, like, you know how you're sitting around with your boys and you're just hanging out, and all of a sudden you hear, "Oof, boy, her feet." And I'm like, "What?" Like, that's just weird to me. Like, you're right.
But it's weird to you. But Joel, and I'm not suggesting that you know, but you probably have your own thing you're into that other people would look at and go, "What?" Yeah. I mean, you don't, and that's fine. I'm not asking you what it is. I wouldn't like, there's some things you just don't put your business out on, right? But I guarantee you, you have your own kink.
And I get that.
Or your own hang up that other people, now, maybe I don't wouldn't think it's weird, but maybe there's somebody that goes to church 5 days a week that would be like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's lingerie, some people are like, really? That's weird. As simple as it may be, some people would find it strange. So I don't, now, like, I'll tell you what. I finally watched that. This is a good segment. If you have kids in the car.
Well, it is a 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah. If you have kids in the car, go ahead and throw them out. No, don't. I mean, pull over. Don't do it while you're driving. Just pull over
just
and ask them to get out of the car.
Instead of earmuffs, and no, let them listen to their headphones.
Just ask them to get out of the car for 5 minutes. I watched your documentary. This is to our point about what weird stuff people are into. I watched a documentary about John McAfee.
Oh, isn't he insane? Now, that's a pervert.
When you pay girls to poop in your mouth.
Oh, my God.
I didn't want to ruin it.
Now I'm judging you, okay? Now I would rather suck 50 toes.
Oh, man.
At once.
I don't care what time it is. You didn't need to do that.
I would, bro.
It's insane because these girls that they interviewed.
They all said it.
They all said he doesn't like sex.
No sex. He has the hammock, and I don't know if it's his poop hammock or what it is.
Who is this guy?
John McAfee, the guy, he invented the McAfee antivirus.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And he's an eccentric millionaire who, you know, got away with murder and all this, allegedly, and all these other things. But what he had a lot of whores that he paid when he lived in Belize.
And by the way, where would you grade those girls on a scale of 1 to 10?
Bro, you look like a thousandaire.
Bro.
The girls that you paid, you look like a thousandaire, not a millionaire.
They look so...
One of them, yeah.
Did you see that?
One of them...
I didn't want to say it, but one of them... Go ahead, say it. You said.
She had that gotcha eye.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, the gotcha eye, one goes that way, and the other was like, gotcha, on the other side. Why can't I remember this dude's name? African-American actor with the bad eye. Forrest...
Whitaker.
He was the one, I don't remember, it wasn't Harlem Nights, but he was in a movie about Harlem when he sucked Robin Givens' toes. That's what it was.
Okay.
But this one chick that he pays had a Forrest Whitaker eye, right? Like, it was like, whoa.
Unbelievable. You got to watch this documentary.
Think that's because the women have limitations too, going, boy, I tell you what, I'm willing to do a lot, but I'm not doing that.
No. All these girls were like, I needed the money.
Oh, man.
So they pooped on him. And he didn't. And they, so the person doing the documentary said, "Did you have sex?" And she was like, "No, he wasn't into that. He just wanted us to defecate into his mouth."
Ugh!
It's the most of all of the fetishes. If you're into feet, if you're into elbows, I know people into elbows, belly.
What?
I know people into belly buttons.
Elbows?
Yeah, belly buttons. I know a dude who was like, that was his big fetish, was a belly button. Like he was like, "Oh man, you talking about somebody going look at her feet?" I mean, to me, feet seem kind of normal compared to some of this stuff. Like belly buttons.
Yeah, for sure. It's, I mean, like, for me, okay. You just can't have bad feet.
Yeah, if they're, yeah.
That's the boomerang one.
Yeah, if you got, yeah, if your feet look like you've been playing soccer with a pineapple.
Like it looks like.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like.
Just look like a damn like crime scene.
You drag your feet on the concrete or something that. No, yeah. It's a, no, but that is a whole other level of nasty.
Yeah, I mean.
Awful.
I kind of. Boy, I'll tell you what.
And he's a millionaire. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? And then they would talk about that, and they would cut to a scene of him kissing one of the girls. I'm like, girl, you're a nasty kissing that man on the mouth like that. Knowing where it's been.
And if you follow him on Twitter, he still posts pictures of girls like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Does he just post, like, scat pictures?
Just of him. Like, he just of him in, like, in a lounge or a club.
Oh, God.
How old is this guy?
Disgusting.
50s, 60s?
John McAfee, highly recommend you. They don't show it.
God,
they just talk about
that.
It, but it is a really good series.
There's a whole bunch of other parts to the story that's really compelling.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really good documentary. Highly recommend it. But Nora and I watched it.
I'm surprised you watched. I didn't think you'd ever watch it.
When we got to that part, she was like, what? She was eating a chocolate chip cookie. I was like, it's almost like your little cookie there. It's got little nuggets.
That's nice.
She was like, I hate you so
She'll
much.
She'll never have another chocolate chip cookie without thinking
of
that.
I hate you so much. I was like, oh, God. That's just.
God, it was so disgusting.
So that's why I say there's levels of it.
But that's
of
you're right. There are levels of it because we talk about
I don't know
all
if
the
there's
time,
any
like,
other level higher than that. Maybe death. Maybe, you know, what is it? Where you have sex with dead bodies. Necrophilia.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's like the ultimate level of weird and disgusting. But poop is right under it. Really.
Yeah. That's just, I don't understand.
That's why I kept describing it as two chicks, one cup. Remember? I was like, I kept saying that. I was like, be prepared, bro.
It was one chick, one mouth. Two chicks, one cup would have been so bad. How do you get, I don't know how you get into that. I really don't.
But, so you can ask that question, but I can't say that, like, the feet thing, like, because I know, like, guys that would, like, come up to a girl, even in a workplace, and go, hey, if you don't mind, I would love to rub your feet sometime. That's weird.
I mean, that's creepy to say that to a girl.
Right.
But, it's a body part. It's not, you know, poop.
Well, that's
awful. But I bet you, I'd be willing to bet you that feet is one of the higher ranked categories, on a porn.
You're probably right.
I'd be willing, as far as fetishes go, it's probably one of the more normal fetishes.
Okay. Rex Ryan thinks so.
And I think a lot of people do. Even the people that aren't into it, you kind of have to admit that it's just almost a lot more normal and mainstream than a lot of the other stuff.
He's been able to play that off, by the way.
Yeah.
Because at first, like you said, I mean, that's his thing, mm-hmm. but I don't think he wanted anyone in the free world to know it was his thing.
Yeah, I got to make sure my sound's down. I'm going to Pornhub for the categories.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Here we go. Popular. Yeah, I would imagine, man, there's a lot of weird stuff.
Man.
Jeez.
Yeah, I think that whatever your thing is, that's, you know, that's your fetish or whatever you call it. I just think that's, boy, there are different levels, but I always felt that was kind of weird. Like you'd say, like you talked about, like the naturals are looking at a woman, whether it be her face or other aspects of it, but an elbow or her feet, I don't.
Okay, now see, this is weird. Cartoon has as many videos in the category as feet. So there are people that would watch cartoon porn over regular porn?
Wow.
See, that's more weird to me than some dude that wants to suck on a toe. That's, I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. I guess weird is all subjective.
I guess so.
Just admit it, Barry. You like to suck toes. Just admit it.
I mean, no. I think we all know with my OCD and aversion to cleanliness,
it's pretty
probably
true.
Not sucking a lot of toes. So... probably not a thing that's going to happen on a regular basis.
But I'm glad you watched the documentary.
Yeah, it was good.
I know what has to happen. We got to go to break. We'll come back and hopefully clean this up. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Transitioning from one topic to another, but as you mentioned, a lot of people specifically saying even without a toe fetish, there are certain individuals that would...
People are like, look, Joshua, other guys, other people are like, P. Randizzle, they're like, nah, toe sucking is gross, but I would suck Salma Hayek's toes. I think there are probably celebrities that you'd be like, yeah, I'd do that. If it was the gateway to... Yeah, okay.
Now, speaking of that.
Sure.
And being able to... transition us back to a topic we covered in hour
very good.
One. I think you would put up there on top of your list of those type of people that strike a fancy, one fine lady that happened to attend the UFC fight Saturday
night.
Boy,
they're lucky media wasn't allowed over this. I would have stalked her.
I tweeted you,
Halle Berry,
the fact that your girl was in attendance Saturday night.
She was. Front row, front and center.
Someone said she was sitting with Tillman.
Yeah, I saw that. Somebody, because a couple other people,
right.
Like you did, yep. Were like, hey, she's there. And after you told me that, I was like, oh, okay. And then somebody's like, Barry, now's your shot. I was like, well, cover me. I'm going in. If this don't end well, tell my wife I love her, but I had one shot. But I never
and the
went
who's
over there.
Who, because, you know, obviously
but
they always.
But I did text Mick Maynard. I was like, bro, Halle Berry front row in Houston? I'm more excited about that than Jon Jones. He goes, I got to meet her for the first time. I was like, she's like literally top one all time of Hollywood crushes. like all time. He's like, yeah, it was pretty cool meeting her.
That's great.
Yeah.
And it was great for Houston. To meet her. Obviously, there's a story behind it, so you might want to tell the folks. I read about it.
She's got a movie that they're working on some where she's a fighter. She trains with Shevchenko, and yes. Shevchenko is in the movie. So
and trained her.
Yeah, and trained her.
So she's now a fan and a supporter, so she was there to support her. But the rest of the celebs they showed when they always scanned the cage and everything like that, in this case, it was all Houston sports. It was Westbrook. It was Eric Gordon. It was J.J. Watt. It was Deshaun Watson. There were a lot of Houston sports celebs that were there Saturday night to watch the fight. We got into a little bit right off the top of the show, but anything else that stuck out for you as you guys kind of recap the evening that was Saturday night, as you two were both in attendance?
Yeah, you know, excuse me, there were some close fights. I thought Shevchenko showed why she's the dominant, I mean, one of the two best female fighters and one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in MMA, male or female. She showed why. That chick, I don't remember what her name was, her opponent. She looked like a soccer mom to me.
Caitlin, I think.
Yeah, Chukugian or something like that.
I'll tell you what, though. She's tough.
She is tough.
And she took an absolute beating.
She wasn't lying about her footwork. In the pre-fight video, she talked about the fact that her footwork was really good and that it was really going to bother Valentina Shevchenko. And I was like, okay, we'll see about that. MMA fighters aren't usually known for their good footwork. Mm-hmm. She did have really good foot. Like her movement in and out of the pocket, I was really impressed with it. It's just hard to do that against a fighter like Shevchenko and maintain it for five rounds.
Valentina's no joke. Everybody argues she's one of the best, if not the best, female fighter. We all talk about how the only two losses that she has in the UFC is against Amanda Nunes, and we all know how tough she is. So, I mean, if it wasn't for those two losses, she would definitely be up there as one of the best, if not the best. It's just a matter of her getting her opportunity.
Agree. And then the Juan Adams Justin Taffa fight, I really thought that was going to be an easy fight for Juan because Taffa had the one loss in the UFC and that was really his only UFC experience. Tough loss for Juan, and I'm not sure that he could fade three in a row, and that bothers me, that worries me for Juan. I hope that's not the case. But I know Derek Lewis had a streak where he was losing here and there, but the difference is when you've got the kind of resume and the knockouts that Derek has, that's a fighter. Well, and just in general, if you're that style of fighter where people want to see you because you have knocked out so many come from behind victories in MMA like Derek has, you get a little more leeway. And just unfortunately, Juan doesn't have that resume yet. And so I think it's going to be difficult for him to fade this loss and not say he can't be back because heavyweights are hard to get. But he's going to have to work his way back if he does get cut. I hope he doesn't, obviously, but I'm thinking that that's a possibility at this point.
I remember texting about it with you during the fight at Toyota Center.
Yeah.
We all want him to succeed. Sometimes heavyweights, you know, like heavyweights will get that leeway because of the knockout power. Sometimes you're just a victim of a three-loss losing streak, and it's not necessarily your fault. So sometimes they give him a little bit more leeway. I don't know if that will be afforded to Juan Adams, but I hope it does. Yeah. And maybe he gets his opportunity.
Yeah, I hope so.
You also texted me about Ariane Celeste.
Yeah, we do need to discuss that. But I did want to say real quick, yeah, we need to discuss that as well. That Trevin Giles, James Krause fight was a really good fight. Yeah.
Good fight and great story.
It won fight of the night. Yeah, Krause coming in. I had forgot about James Krause and who he was. Because even when I was talking to Mick before the show, he goes, bro, can you believe on 24 hours notice we got James Krause? I was like, is he local? He goes, what?
Boy, he's been around for a minute.
I know, but I totally forgot about who he was.
Like that, and to put up the fight that he did?
It says a lot. And then I saw him. I was like, oh, that's right. I remember this cat.
I can see how you forgot his name, but then once you saw him.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But props to Trevin Giles. There were a couple of times. So he trains out of Elite MMA, which is a jiu-jitsu school here in Houston. And they are known for having really solid jiu-jitsu players.
They do.
And, you know, and I know he had lost via submission before, but the patience that he showed and the hand fighting that went on, that was really good. And I don't think the casual fight fan will appreciate what took place on the ground. But when he was on his back, when Krause was on his back and he had that body triangle on him and they were hand fighting, that was really impressive from Trevin Giles to sit there and continue to avoid the submissions.
With the body triangle.
Yeah. And then he ends up in guard. All of that happens, then he ends up in his guard. I just thought impressive groundwork by Trevin Giles. And then to do what he did, dominated on the feet too. Good win for him.
Absolutely. No question.
Even on short notice. And you got to take your hat off to James Krause for taking that fight. And making it a fight. He could have just went in, got starched, got his check, and left. He made that a fight.
I remember. He was on a six-fight win streak, and he took it on short notice, which is a risk. I mean, that's a six-fight win streak doesn't necessarily... You know how hard it is to come by a six-fight win streak for a guy like that who doesn't necessarily have the name and can't get the big fights that he probably would like, and then puts it on the line and then loses to split in a split decision? I mean...
It's risky. It's big, risky.
Big up to Krause, man.
Man, and that'll go a long way with him and Dana and Mick and you know, sure. Even with the
he won't get
streaks.
The pink slip or anything, obviously.
No, exactly.
And Charles, absolutely. Obviously, being Houston guy, and then HPD, right? I mean,
HPD that, in
that's
the house.
A very cool part
and
of the story.
I thought I owed him an apology. I thought he was from Dallas. And it turns out he was born in San Antonio, but he kind of came up in the fight game here in Houston. He claims Houston as his home, and he's an HPD guy. So my apologies. I confused him with another fighter. But big ups for him, man. That's a really good win.
Yep, and that was a good fight.
Yeah.
So just anything else that you guys want to get to before we...
I messaged Nick, and I asked AJ the same thing, but I was like, Ariana's had ASP implants, right?
I didn't notice
it's too perfect.
I'm telling you right now, she needed them for years. Yeah. I haven't seen them.
She's been taking them pills. Them noacetols. Jeez. She needed, and she got them.
I knew when she was.
It's holding up. We'll just say that.
I felt like that video she did with the other two girls doing twerking, but like handstand twerking. Yeah. That was like an indication of her insecurity about her behind.
Of course.
Because she... It clearly made her behind look a lot better.
I remember
video.
Following her, and AJ had a good point. How many ring car girls do you know that hold up as long as she has and looks as good as she does still to this day?
Just her.
Props to her, because the local ring car girls, boy, when they lose it, they fall off fast.
Is it Brittany Palmer? Yeah, I like Brittany Palmer, too.
Yeah, but I remember seeing Ariana on Instagram a long time, when Instagram first started, and she would show butt shots, and she was on them pills. And then you started seeing her be like, oh, I'm working on squats. Like, you could tell, no, like you said, she was self-conscious about it. Like, she was, every day she would post videos or pictures of her doing squats. And I think finally she just said, you know what? You can do all the squats in the world, but if you ain't got no ass, you ain't got no ass. And it ain't going to happen. So she just said,
she's such
if you
a
can't
pretty girl.
Them,
I guess that's
them.
Why she got away with it, you know?
You know what, though? Looks nice. I ain't complaining. Looks nice. Just a little, you know, just like you could tell fake breasts, you can tell a fake ass. And I was like, well, that's all right. She's still a pretty girl. Good for her. If I could, if I could get work done, I'd get it done. Get this hairline cleaned up. Get rid of this chin. I'd be good to go.
Be boob hot reduction. And sexy.
Huh? Boop. I hate you.
Mind if I ask you a question? Can we take a break and then get on to the final half hour of the show?
How did I know there would be an ass pun coming from Joel?
Well... At least you're getting to know me as we get along in the business. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. 30 minutes on the clock when we come back. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. So if you want to join us between now and then, 713-780-3776. Call or text the HR&P listener line or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. 30 minutes left to go on the clock right here on ESPN 97.5. We were recapping as we got the show started with the UFC festivities. From Saturday night, got back into a little bit more of it just in that last segment. So we have Colin on the line. He wants to get in and talk a little bit about the UFC 247.
What's going on, guys? Hey, Barry.
What's up?
Hey, man. So a couple things. One, you know, I've been in this Houston MMA scene for a long time, and I know these Texas judges so well that I was telling everyone beside me how the score was going to go, including if it was going to be a split decision.
Hold on, Colin. Is this Colin Cantrell? I feel like I recognize the voice.
Yeah, of course. What are the Colins on this?
I mean, bro, I don't know. We're very popular, Colin. We have a huge following, lots and lots of fans, including a lot of Colins. But just so you guys know a little background, Colin is about 150 years old. He's been around Houston MMA for 148 of those. He basically came up with like Eves Edwards and fought Eves Edwards at one point back when it was pancreas fighting, right? Pancreas or whatever
the hell
it is. And you've been around the scene. You were a matchmaker for Legacy forever. So just so people have an idea of what Colin's talking about. Go ahead, buddy. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Good for it. Hey, I appreciate that. No, so I was telling anyone who was sitting beside me exactly how the score was going to go, including if it was a split decision or not, before it was announced, right? And I was right on every single fight until the last fight. And I was wishy-washy on that because there weren't all Texas judges. I think there was only one Texas judge, right? And, of course, he did score it 4-1 for Jones.
Of course.
But here's 2 points that were brought up to me by some fighters that I thought was pretty interesting. Number one, what if they showed the score after every round and announced it to the crowd? What kind of difference would that make to the fight game, right?
Right.
Number two, real quickly, and then I'll hang up and listen, is, you know, so people say you got to beat the champ to get the belt, right? And I'm not necessarily against that, but to me, if that is going to be the philosophy, then it needs to be more well-defined and actually become the rule, right? Instead of going, well, we're gonna just, you know, judge it. We're going to go by if it's close, but the other guy won the round, he didn't win it enough, so we're going to give it to the champ. So anyway, those are my 2 points. If you want to talk about them or not, but Barry, love you as always. I love your comedy show. Can't wait to see the next one, man. You guys have a great day.
Appreciate you, homie. That's a good dude right there, man. He you're talking about an OG in Houston MMA, Texas MMA for that matter. He goes way back, and yeah, he was the matchmaker for Legacy for a very long time.
I'm actually with him on the whole. I don't believe in the whole beat the champion thing.
It's
I think
thing,
you should
though.
Judge
it's
every
been a thing in this sport for a very long
I
time.
I think you should judge every round accordingly, and you should not be favored anything just because you're the champion. If you lost that round, you lost that round, in my opinion.
Okay. I tend to disagree with both of you. I feel like if you're going to be called the champion, you got to go out and beat the champion. If you just cruise or you're, you know, if it's a close round, I mean,
I think you're just, but you're changing the rules though when you do that. Like, how are you going to judge a round accordingly on a 10-9 system if you're just already how much favoritism are you going to give the champion because of that?
I'm just saying if it's a really close round, if you're having a difficult time deciding, I mean, did you go out and beat the champ? Did you beat the guy the best in the division? Or did you go out and just try to cruise and he cruised? And
I just think that's a primitive way of thinking.
It's been like that forever, though, unfortunately. And I'm not disagreeing
with
you.
And they're unofficial rules, too. It's not even in the rule book to do that.
That's what he's saying. If that's the case, then at least put it in there that if you're not the champion, you have to be aggressive and, you know, whatever. But I do like his idea, and I've heard that before. I love the idea of putting the scores after each round up in the arena. Because here's why I think it's a good idea. And I mentioned this to the Sure Dog guy, and I know Colin would agree if he was still on the line. But I feel like Texas judges, when it comes to MMA, are influenced by the crowd just as much as by watching the fights. If they hear the crowd oohing and on and this and that, I think sometimes that gets in their head too. Well, obviously the guy won the round. The crowd was excited, and he was throwing punches. Never mind what landed and what didn't and what was effective and what wasn't. I think that judges being human beings can get caught up in the moment as well, and that can influence. I'm not saying every time, but it can influence the way that they judge a close fight sometimes.
I can see that.
So I do like the idea of put it up there and let people boo.
Yeah, because I think that a lot of times we talk about how the home field advantage can actually play a factor in games. I mean, but it doesn't actually affect the outcome. Here, the home field advantage, or less the feel of the crowd, regardless if it was your home or not. But if you start getting that emotional momentum of the crowd, it can affect the decision.
I could not disagree. You could not let the crowd influence the judges. You cannot have any outside force influence the judges.
I'm not saying that you should. I'm saying it happens.
Yeah, it's human nature.
Right.
I'm saying.
But are you saying put the score after every round?
Yeah.
Well, if you put the score on every round and you know, and the crowd knows who scored the card, they can influence the judge by booing them and everything else.
It's kind of like, well, okay.
It's the same reason why they wouldn't give them a TV with the broadcast, because if they heard what Joe Rogan and the commentators were saying, that could potentially influence their scorecard. You don't want to do that.
But is it influencing them or holding them accountable? Because there's a fine line.
You don't know that a cheer is going to hold somebody accountable.
Just like you don't know what Boo is going to influence them.
It absolutely could.
Okay, but overall, don't you guys feel like what happened Saturday night is going to force changes or at least alteration?
This has been happening for the decade that I've been around MMA.
Getting the quality of judge either up to a higher standard or the judges that they used, if they use them again, basically giving them a reprimand of what they have to do if they're going to do this again.
Judges like Adelaide Byrd have made a killing in the boxing
business.
Anywhere. It's not going to change. What has to happen is slowly but surely, guys like Colin that just called have to get involved in TDLR and be a driving force for change, like Chris Reed that I mentioned earlier and Jeff Rexroad and these guys that are fighters that know the game and that can come in and infuse that, no pun intended, infuse that kind of change into TDLR. But it can and will happen, but it's going to take forever, and not just another card where the UFC and Dana White isn't happy. Because trust me, this ain't the first time Dana White's been upset with Texas and TDLR.
Yeah, and they were here. They used to come to Texas a lot more often, but now that the UFC has expanded so much, and especially globally, it's fewer and far between. Because what happens is they still have to go to these traditional MMA cities and countries like Canada, like Brazil, like all these other countries.
My buddy runs all of ticketing for UFC. And so he's constantly like, we're friends on Facebook. Every week he said he's just going home to Vegas now, which is his home base, just to basically do laundry. And then he's off to the next one.
I went up to Mick. I was like, what's up, bro? He's like, man, it's just good to be home. Because he still lives here. And he still has a home here. And
he's all over.
He opened a gym. What is it? I got to look it up. But he's got a BJJ school here in town too, so he's, you know, he's active still locally, but they're on the road so much, and it's an international sport. And it's a great point, Nick, about having to travel. When you think about how many, I mean, fighters are from all over the world, and so you got to go to where these fighters are from. You mentioned earlier with Gustafsson and going to Sweden and stuff like that. You got to go to the people.
But to the point, Nick, and if you missed it, it's worth your time to go back and listen to AJ's interview with Dana White, because AJ was the one that kind of brought back the history to say, look, whenever you've been in Houston, the fights have been great and people have remembered them. And then you couple that by saying, great evening Saturday night. And oh, by the way, the largest grossing event that Toyota Sona has ever had. You got to believe that it's on their radar now to come back sooner rather than later.
They can thank two things, Derek Lewis and John Jones. So, because you've seen fights here in the past where the turnout has been okay. It's been a decent card. But John Jones is one of the biggest names in the sport. And Derek Lewis is too. And he is such a hometown hero. Like, the place was packed by the time. And I was singing your praises to anyone that would listen about why. Because the topic came up several times. Why is Derek Lewis leading off the card? And I was like, my producer nailed it last week. It's to put the butts in the seats. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean,
what the case was.
I pulled up 9 o'clock. I know you and AJ were there from the very beginning. I pulled up at 9 o'clock right when the pay-per-view started. That's when, right when they were making the introductions to Derek Lewis. And remember, it is a good place to hold a fight, okay? UFC 136, three championship fights on one fight card. I was there. Frankie Edgar, Gray Maynard, Jose Aldo, Kenny Florian, Chels. Look, dude,
I was there for that fight.
Yeah, dude,
I was too.
You can't sit there and
I'm not kidding. Yeah.
You can't sit there and say that was a bad fight card. I mean, it was a two championship, but you can't say that was a bad fight card.
It wasn't a bad fight card, but it doesn't have the cachet that John Jones and Derek Lewis has for the fight fans in Houston. Hardcore fight fans are going no matter what. That's the 10,000 you're going to see in the Toyota Center.
Yep.
Agree?
Yeah.
That you're going to get 10,000 no matter what. And the attendance was 16,164. That's a pretty good draw. But this thing is there's those casual fans that they know two people's names on that card. They knew John Jones and they knew Derek Lewis. Sure. So they're like, well, let's go. But I guarantee you, the very casual fight fan don't know who Frankie Edgar is. Maybe know.
No, in 2011 he was known. In 2011 he was known.
They do know who Chael Sonnen was. I don't know, man. There's
Leonard Garcia was on that card.
Yeah. But I think like a Chael Sonnen is known because of his trash talking. Conor McGregor, right? Like these are the casual, and I'm talking maybe once a quarter watch a fight fan at most.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, look, if they continue to put these fights in Houston and they have Houston ties like Derek Lewis, I don't see why that arena can't. I'll tell you what, it was a lot more full than the Rockets game last night. I'll tell you that right now.
That's kind of where I was going when you were tweeting. About the fact that says something right there,
it really
right?
Does.
Oh, they left. They left in a very. They left in the fourth quarter, Joel, and that's why I tweeted it out. In a very winnable game, they were down, I think, 5 or 6 points with 3-4 minutes to go, and you guys are acting like the. And yeah, they lost, but they lost on a buzzer beater.
Well, they shouldn't have lost. Really, that's the point too that they were in control most of the game, but that people and you know what they're going to say, Nick? It's the same thing. Sunday night, school night, got to get up for work. Couldn't stay the whole time. Well. Doesn't exactly build a home court advantage. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the Roughnecks, and obviously it was their first game ever, but they had to open up the upper deck because the support was there.
Love it. So, what was the buy rate for 247? Do we know?
I don't know. I never followed up and saw what the buys were or the gate. I know Dana White announced the gate post-fight.
Yeah. Yeah, they had it in the press. You know how they email you the presser or whatever? They had that in the presser. And the
oh, yeah, in the media. Yeah.
I could text my buddy, but I don't think we get the response back in time. So
that's fine.
All right, we got 1 second to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll put a bow on it next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to wrap things up on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. And in the studio is a good thing, especially today, because Candy was true to her word. And when we said that you organically surprised and dropped on us that it was our 3-year anniversary last week, we had people that were talking about sending us things and should have done this, should have done that. Well, Candy said she was going to make us a cake.
She did.
And she not only made a cake for us, but she made the top of the cake have the actual graphics and everything from the show, The Usual Suspects, with us and our names. Very, very, very cool and greatly appreciated, Candy. We really appreciate it.
Seriously, thank you so much. I did not expect this to be that nice or to taste that good. Absolutely amazing. And I tell you what, she's got a Candy's Sweet Stuff is the name of her business. She makes homemade desserts. It's on Facebook at Candy's Sweet Stuff, and she's got a number two. She's about out of Crosby, Texas.
Cool.
Longtime suspect.
Yep.
And if you want to get in touch with her, 832-507-5475. And based on what she was able to do, because she asked me, like, well, where can I get a graphic? I was like, I don't know, the website. If she's able to make that from a picture on a website, that's skills right there. So Nick and I and Joel are all going to tweet out pictures at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick. We're all very excited and proud of this cake. Candy did an amazing job.
No doubt.
And so suspects, supporting suspects, if you need something done in the sweets department, hit her up, 832-507-5475, for sure.
Yep, very, very cool stuff.
Man, so cool.
So before we wrap things up, turn it over to the Blitz. I don't know that we missed anything too much other than that. Oh, by the way, U of H, Nick, your Cougs got a big win against Wichita State this weekend. It was crazy because I had seen Wichita State playing on TV a few games ago. And whoever was doing the color analyst work on ESPN was like, well, I'll tell you what, people are sleeping on Wichita State. Head and shoulders, the best team out of that conference and the team that everybody should be fearful of making a Final Four run. I'm like, that team just got worked yesterday by Calvin Sampson and the boys. And the one thing that, and maybe there is something to this, but people now are starting to realize Calvin Sampson's defense and the way he teaches and just absolutely harps on defense, and especially his low post defense where the help comes from and how the help comes from, other different angles and different places. But I'll tell you what, his D is suffocating, and it helps that team immensely because they don't have a lot of shooters. But they have a lot of guys that can really play.
Well, the thing about his defense is that he's trained them pretty well about having the stamina to continue the defensive pressure throughout the entire game. And I was talking to one of my buddies at the Rockets game because he had just come from the Cougs game and went to the Rockets. And he said, man, this is probably one of the best wins, if not their best win of the season. Great really win for the Cougs, man. I wish I was able to go, but that was a really good win for the Cougs. And Kelvin, like you said, the defense – people are talking about how it just wears on teams, and it can.
It can wear on really, really good teams at the college basketball level, for sure.
And the one thing that people sleep on, and that's why maybe I harp on it so much, being around the game as much to know what it means, is even when your shot's not falling, the one aspect of basketball that you can always, always, always execute is defense. And if they continue to play defense like that, even if they have offensive nights where it's not falling, or they're just not, you know, they don't have, like I said, they don't have great shooting, but if they're just not on their game, especially translating to the conference tournament and even more so for the NCAA tournament, you can catch a lot of teams sleeping. And, you know, the different game times throw teams off when they normally get used to playing night games, and suddenly in the tournament you got to play at 11 a.m. Well, that's one thing that's going to translate no matter where they play and who they play against, if they play defense like
that.
They
always say defense travels.
Yeah.
Dude, even if your shot's not falling or your offense is out of rhythm, and the defense travels.
Yeah.
And if you could play good, solid defense, like you said, in the tournament, you could do some things.
Yeah. Other things, just quickly on college basketball, because I know probably no one caught it. But my God, Duke played Carolina, and Carolina's been awful all year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a Carolina fan, or you just watched the game, you have to feel for Carolina. It would have been the win of the season playing a top 10 ranked team like Duke. They're up late, and Jones, the point guard for Duke, knows he's got to miss. They're down. He knows he's got to miss the second free throw, right, in regulation. He perfectly throws it as hard as he can off the front of the rim. It bounces back towards midcourt. He gets it, turns and spins and fires and ties the game.
Crazy.
Then in overtime, he tries to do it again, and he airballs. And Duke's big man catches it at the basket at the buzzer, taps it in, and Duke wins by 2 in overtime. And he's like, that's the best game all season no one saw, because there was so much going on,
yeah,
Houston and otherwise. And then the last thing I thought that was kind of cool was Bobby Knight, after 20 years of hating on the University of Indiana and Indiana University, they honored one of his championship teams from the 90s. And I believe they also, guys from the undefeated team in like 76, they all convinced him to come back. And he walked into Assembly Hall on the campus.
Oh, that's cool.
For the first time, welcomed in. The crowd gave him a standing ovation. But I'll tell you what. If we thought this dude was ornery before.
Like, is he Mr. Cranky Pants now?
And if you guys get a chance and you're just scanning the internet tonight, go back and look at it. The crazy thing is, there is no one that has spoken higher all of his career than Dick Vitale of the General Robert Montgomery Knight, as he likes to call him.
Uh-huh.
He's doing the game. He's almost in tears as he's doing the game. And Bobby Knight's making the rounds. And Vitale stands up, and you could tell it just means so much to him. And I don't know if he was just playing to the crowd, but he tried to, like, give Vitale kind of the tough guy hard handshake and then the scowl and everything like that. And I thought, well, at some point he's going to go back. He didn't.
Really?
And I thought it was kind of awkward. I don't know if Vitale at some point in time maybe said something, because, you know, the general – he hears everything, and he can hold some things. Obviously, a grudge of 20 years with Indiana.
Yeah.
But very cool that they kind of mended fences.
That is cool. That needed to happen.
He still lives in Indiana Bloomington.
And Bob Knight is a I'm never even associate Bob Knight with Tech, really. I mean, I know he was there, and I know it was important. Right. But when you think about Bob Knight, you think Indiana basketball.
Yep.
That's it.
And the fact that he still lives in Bloomington, and, you know, I think it was a couple years ago where he was actually holding press conferences outside of the arena but wouldn't go in.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, look, when all the dust settles, and I know there was some bad blood when he left, but everybody associates and remembers Bob Knight with the success of Indiana basketball.
Yep. Several texts coming in.
All right.
On you and your suffocating D. And I, to my credit, people are like, apparently Barry just matured and has no comment on Coach Sampson's.
No, he has a mute button. He has a mute button.
I was laughing my ass off when he said it. I just didn't go out of my way. And someone did point out that if I had said that, you would have been all over it. Let's be real. They were like, I know it's childish, but if Barry would have said his D is suffocating, Joel would have given him so much crap for that.
I'll suck it up for a minute and a half.
Oh, God, I'm still swallowing it, though.
What are you doing?
Why?
Like, yeah, why? That's the only beauty to you being behind the glass.
I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything.
You have nothing better to do. Nothing.
Think I can fit this in my mouth?
Not going to stop, because we already know that there is
y'all brought this up,
bro,
not me.
That one is so old. That's actually from me doing a read, I think.
I'm glad you're enjoying my sausage, sir.
That's when you made that late that dog owner. You pissed off that dog owner down by Minute Maid.
Oh man.
Well, yeah.
I'm glad you got through the suffocating D this weekend with no problem.
Yeah, I'll call Calvin Sampson for you.
Put the nuts in your mouth and it's great.
Why did y'all bring this up at the end of the show? I didn't bring this up at the end
y'all?
Of the show.
Y'all? I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't even catch it. No, he brought it up.
That's right. You brought it up.
Yeah.
Suffocating D over here.
And then you got the Muppet laugh from Nick in the back.
That's hilarious.
You got Snagglepuss's laugh, and he's got the Muppet over there.
I do have the Snagglepuss laugh.
Jeez. All right. Well, for the most part, that was a very, very informative and educational show.
One
for
more shout out to Candy, man. We appreciate the
For real, man. That looks cake. Really, really good.
I don't even want to.
I don't
cut
know if
it.
I'll get a piece because I think Barry consumed it all already.
I don't want to cut it because I don't want to ruin it. Like I just want to. I don't know. It's too pretty to cut. But it's, I accidentally touched the icing on the edge of the box. Oh, it's so good. I'm going to be so fat. Or fatter. Shut up, Nick.
Hey, you know what? That's our cue to get out of here. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. Join us every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5. The Blitz is next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.